Welcome to the Grace Point Church Podcast. This is a podcast where you'll hear audio content from Grace Point Church, located at 319 West Georgia Road, Simpsonville, South Carolina. In this episode, you will hear a special sermon by Pastor Ben Hill entitled Hope Alive, taken from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Let's listen in.
There are times when you have been given instruction from the Lord and He's laid something on your heart, and then you get to the place where you're supposed to do it, and then you start going, wow, really? Is that really what you said, Lord? Is this really the direction you want me to go? But I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt it is, that God has given us a word this morning, and we have already heard from Him. We heard a life sermon. Amen? And the recognition of that is also, I think, a testimony to us all. God moves in our lives. He speaks to us. He gives us instruction. He gives us direction. We hear His voice in the subtlety of the impression of the heart. And I think oftentimes we fail to not only acknowledge that, but also express that as an act of worship and praise. So, Kendra, thank you. You have been a blessing to us as well. I remember the day clearly. And what an incredibly tragic time and a sad time when my precious friend lost his bride. But I also remember that even in the midst of that, in that hospital, there was a palpable joy, because a life was well lived, and heaven became a little sweeter. Amen. And what a joy that was. And it's been a blessing to be a part of this journey with you and to be a part of all of our lives together. Amen. We are connected. We're connected by the bond of the blood of Christ. We're connected by the calling to be a part of something that God has put on our hearts to do. And I think about the 18 or plus people that are down at the lake right now as an extension of where we are. And they're having their worship time even as we speak this morning. And I'm just so humbled and honored that my son Daniel is bringing the message down there with them. So what a joy it is to be in God's house today. And I am thrilled to be here. With that said, I want to thank all of you for the hard work that I've seen this week and the week before in putting all this stuff together. You did notice the ambiance when you walked in the room.
That's exciting.
It's kind of got that mellow feeling, you know. Maybe we need to keep that going and come up with a way to give us that cool feeling that we have in this of the lighting and all today. But what a joy it is. I want to share with you a message that God laid on my heart for this morning. It is not going back to the series that I plan to go back to and to continue through and looking at Joshua, but God laid something different on my heart this morning, and I wanted to share it with you, not this morning, but through the week, to share with you this morning. And turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter in chapter number 1. So I was thinking about a word as we, the word hope. Hope is an incredible thing, isn't it? You know, I believe that not only did Daniel commit his life to the Lord, and when he was put into the lion's den, he was fully prepared for whatever God's will was. But can't you just imagine somewhere in there he was kind of hoping God would do something? I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were put into the fiery furnace. They even said to the king, "Our God's able to deliver us, but if not, he's still God and you're not," basically. It's my translation. But don't you know they had the hope that God would do something and work a miracle in their lives? This hope that we are given is something different than what the world knows. The world knows a hope that is just out there. The world knows a hope that really is kind of like, I don't know if this is going to happen or not, but maybe if I get lucky, something good would come my way. That's the hope that the world has. But I want you to know, as a believer, as a child of God today, you have a hope that is absolutely 100% sure. As a matter of fact, biblical hope can be defined as settled certainty. It is coming to pass. Do you believe that? Say amen. So we're going to be looking at hope alive. So as we're doing that, let's read this passage together. And I'm reading, those that wonder, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. And here's what the scripture says. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for the obedience to Jesus Christ, for sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. I don't know about you, but I have that in just about every copy of scripture I have in the office. Those verses are underlined in each Bible I have, because every time I read it, there's just something profound that jumps off the pages to me. To recognize that God has given me the calm assurance and the promise that he is there. There's a lot of stuff packed in those verses. And my prayer is, in the next just few minutes that I have, we're going to get with it, all right? In the next little bit, I want us to see something profound that I believe God has for us. What I want to do is not just focus on one thing. Consider this. I want us to focus on the completeness of our hope found in the incredible involvement of the Trinity, the whole person of God. You know, I was thinking of the word hope and in songs that we sing. And I was thinking some of the hymns that I grew up with. And I think of the fact that our living hope comes from the reality of salvation in him. And then from where does it come? Consider this hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. There are about five stanzas to that's him, and every single one of them talks about this same theme, about on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And I want you to know that is absolutely true. Yet let's look at something beyond that. You see, that hymn talks about the blood of Christ, the rock of Jesus, and that is the hope on which it stands. I believe the scripture tells us here that that's not untrue. But there's more to it than that, and I see a great picture of the Trinity, of the Godhead, the triune Godhead in this, and that is what our hope is built on. If you're ready, say amen. Amen. So here's the first thing I see in here, and I want us to notice, is that this hope that we're given, this hope of salvation that we're given, first of all, is Father-planned. Look back, if you will, to the to verse 2, it says, to those who are the elect exile, I mean, verse 1, exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father. The word elect there is the word ecclesia. Ecclesia can be basically defined as called out ones. It's what we refer to today as the church. We have heard and responded to the call of God, and we have trusted him, and we have followed him, and by faith we have been saved. By grace we've been saved through faith. And so we are part of that. But it's Father planned the elect according to his foreknowledge. What an incredible word foreknowledge is. It's a Greek compound word, and the word is prognosko. Prognosko. Pro means before. Gnosko means to know by experience. All right? I can know something intellectually because I read it in a textbook. but then I can know something because I've been through it and I've experienced. Do you understand the difference? So this means to know before by experience. Folks, only God himself could be defined as having foreknowledge. Amen? Only God can know and experience you and me, salvation, and all that takes place before time even began. That's only possible in the incredible heart and mind of God. So we look at this, the plan of God the Father, in that he was not pleased that man would be separated from him. He was not pleased that sin prevailed. He was not pleased that we should perish without him. So according to his foreknowledge, he viewed us, the elect, the church, long before the world even began. To me, that blows my simple mind. But what a blessing it is to know that God, according to his foreknowledge, so it was planned of God. You know, every time I think about this, I shared with the youth night before last, I shared with the youth Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, "For I know the plans that I have for you." And I shared with them, listen, don't ever feel hopeless. Don't ever feel like this world is too tough. I shared with them, you know, the greatest statistics of suicide and increase in suicide has been among teenagers over the last decades. And we need to understand, you don't need to get to the place where you feel desperate to the point you don't know what to do and where to turn. God knows the plans that he has for you. And if you trust him and you surrender to follow him, he will lead and he'll guide and he'll direct you. Can I get a witness? Amen. I know the plan. So there is a hope there. The Father God planned that you and I should not be separated from him. Isn't that awesome? So I see that as the first part of the Trinity and how he plays that role. God is three in one, one in, you know, the idea and the concept of the Trinity. Hard to imagine and hard to fully comprehend, but boy, it's the radical truth of God. So not only Father planned, but number two, I notice Holy Spirit procured. Notice what he says. He says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit. In the sanctification of the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, the Holy Spirit brings it to pass. You know, Jesus said that no man comes to the Father except the Spirit does what? Draws him. Do you realize that if you ignore the person of the Holy Spirit in the concept of salvation, you have not seen the full picture of what salvation really is? Do you know that you cannot come to faith in Christ by an intellectual decision? You have to come to faith in Christ by faith in him, and that comes from the drawing of the Holy Spirit, the conviction of sin from God the Father through the person of the Holy Spirit, so that our hearts are changed and our hearts are warmed to the thought and the concept that I need Jesus. Amen? And so the Holy Spirit, the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, you know, there are times that we get kind of out of balance a little bit. I was thinking of that hymn, you know, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." And, you know, I don't think that was the hymn writer's intent or intention, and I'm not criticizing it. I just thought about the process. Man, we talk about the blood of Jesus, 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 and that's awesome. And it's true. There's no salvation apart from the cross of Christ. Amen. He is the only name under heaven by which man must be saved. That's the name Jesus Christ, right? We understand that's true. But there's the persons of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it all works together. But then there are times when other people tend to take a little too much liberty and put way too much focus on the Spirit. Amen. You know, the Holy Spirit this, the Holy Spirit that, the Holy Spirit this. Listen, the Holy Spirit exists not only to woo and to convict and but to point to the cross and to point to Jesus, right? The Holy Spirit's work is the purpose of God to point people to salvation and to Christ, and the Spirit of God moves and works. But we cannot ignore the fact that what God thought, the Holy Spirit wrought. Ooh, that's a good one. What God thought, the Holy Spirit wrought. So what God planned, the Holy Spirit procured. In other words, the Spirit of God moves, and in moving, he convicts man of sin, and he brings hope. Hope is built on the reality that God has a plan for me. that God knew me before time even began, that God has a purpose for my life, and the Holy Spirit will do what the Holy Spirit does to procure the reality of that in my life. Wow. Boy, I'm tired, and that even gets me excited. You know? Think about that. The Father planned, the Holy Spirit procured. So now, obviously, what has to come next? The Father, the Holy Spirit, and the... You guys are so smart. Jesus, the Son, purchased. See, what the Father planned, and the Holy Spirit procures, Jesus purchased. Notice what it says again. By the sprinkling with His blood. For obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood. Listen. Consider this reality. What does it mean, the sprinkling of His blood? We go back to the Old Testament times of sacrifice. And Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no procurement for sin. So blood was required. What was the significance of the blood? The sacrifice. But what was significant in that the sacrifice did what? The sacrifice died. The shedding of the blood was evidence that the life blood was drained from the sacrifice, and the sacrifice died to pay the penalty of sin. You see, Jesus couldn't have gone down and said, okay, guys, all right, hit me with the whip. Oh, I'm bleeding. Done. I'm through. I've shed my blood now. Everything's good. No. What had to happen? The life blood had to be drained from Him, and He had to die in order to purchase salvation, because He fulfilled and covered the debt that we couldn't pay in that He died. So the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ is symbolic of the fact that He laid it all down. His entire life was given as a sacrifice for you and for me. He paid it all. He gave every bit of it. All to Him I owe, right? So the Father planned the elect and foreknowledge of God. The Holy Spirit procured. The sanctification comes through the work in the Holy Spirit. Listen, without the Holy Spirit's work in salvation, we would not even know that we needed a Savior. Amen? So He procures. And then the Son of God, the sweet Lamb of God, the precious, the precious Lamb of God gave His life for you and for me. And it's evidence in the fact that He sprinkled, He poured out His blood for you and for me. So, wow. You guys have listened fast. I'm real thrilled. I'm pleased with you. We're truncating this, but now watch this. I see a fourth thing in here. Not only do we see the Father planned it, the Holy Spirit has procured it, but Jesus the Son has purchased it. But watch this. God protects it. All three persons of the Trinity. Let's go with me here to verse number, at the end of verse number 2, it says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. And then verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a, it's the topic that we're talking about, a living hope. A living hope. In other words, hope is always alive in Him. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Now here it is, verse number 5. Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So then God, the triune Godhead, by His power, you've been born again. By His power, you are sustained. By His power, you are kept saved every single day. Somebody say hallelujah. Aren't you glad that you did when you got mad at that person driving to church this morning and you expressed road rage? Anybody? Nobody would admit that, would they? Okay, yeah. Just pointed at Jack and went, there you go. You know, so Roseanne was like, I'm calling them out. You were driving. Okay. Now the truth comes out. But here's the reality. Aren't you glad you don't have to worry about, oh, man, did I say something? Did I do something bad enough so that my salvation's gone? No, sir. No, ma'am. Hallelujah. It's been planned by God, procured by the Holy Spirit, purchased by Jesus, and it's protected by God Himself, the triune Godhead. You've been begotten again. You've been born again to an incorruptible inheritance, an inheritance that does not have any flaw, nor any failure, nor any possibility of losing its value. Amen. Right? Forever and ever and ever. And it does not fade away. And how is that? It's through faith for salvation. The salvation is already yours, but I love the way He points it out. It's ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, I live in the joy of knowing that I am a child of God. Every single day, I'm His. No matter what I've done, no matter what I've said, and don't ask my family because they'll tell you way too much. I don't want you to know all that. Okay? But in spite of that, I know that I am a child of the King. I am headed to heaven for glory that is yet to be revealed. And one fine day, one glorious morning, I don't know if it'll be morning or not because we don't know, but one fine day, Jesus is going to step out of glory, and He's going to sound the trumpet, and He's going to call His church home. And the salvation for which I am so eternally grateful now is going to be revealed for all to see in that last time. And why? Because the absolute power of the triune Godhead is given to the reality that my salvation is forever and ever and ever. It has been done. And I'm a child of the King. There are times I feel kind of hopeless. You know? I can't tell you how many years I've said that I really wish I'd lose weight. And then there are times I look in the mirror and go, you know what? No, I don't look in the mirror. I look at pictures that people take at the lake. And I say, it is hopeless. But you know what? That's small stuff compared to the incredible reality that one day it's going to be revealed. And oh, by the way, when we get to heaven, there will never be Brussels sprouts on the menu. And when we get to heaven, all of you, Craig, all you guys, you're going to realize that this is the desirable shape. I can think it and dream it if I want to. Amen. Here's the point. God Himself, before I was ever even made, planned for me to be His. The Holy Spirit of God brought conviction and worked on me. There's no doubt in my mind that He saved me from myself countless times. Yeah, he does. Work in progress. Amen. And then the reality that Jesus paid it all. He laid himself down. He shed his blood, his precious blood, so that my hope could be built on that rock and that solid foundation. And then God, all of God, himself has put his seal on the reality that we are saved. And he says, it is finished. Secured in heaven for you. Folks, listen. I don't know if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus, but man, this is the process. Just understand and recognize God loves you. And he loves you so much that he made a way for you to come back, to come to him in salvation. He sent his son Jesus to die. He rose again to defeat death. The Spirit of God can reveal that to you and convict you. And if you confess and believe and trust and ask him to forgive you, he will, and you will be saved. Amen? He's calling. Amen. So are you listening? Are you listening? But maybe you are already a believer, but you tend to kind of live in the negative. This just ain't going to get any better. I just don't know. God, does he really love me? You know, am I, you know what I'm saying? Stop it. You know why? Because he says, I have given you a hope. A living hope. And you can trust him. So maybe you're a believer, but you need to be reminded this day. God says, I got you. I've got this. Will you trust him?
You have been listening to the Grace Point Church podcast. To find out more information about Grace Point Church, go to our website at www.gracepointsc.org. You can also connect with us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Snapchat. To listen to sermon audio from Pastor Ben Hill, you can go to our YouTube page or subscribe to this podcast. Thank you for listening.